And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
How old is this kid? How old is this kid? Get out of here. Get out of here. Still wearing diapers. Look at this kid. Like, I think I'm doing really well with women, but what do I know? What do I know? I can tell you this, much less exciting to me, fellas. They say I'm setting records with men. Ah, that's so unexciting to me. I want to set records with women, not with men. The hell with the men, right? The hell with the men. I want to set records with women. This is so exciting, isn't it?
Well, my friends, you see what's going on in the country. It's history repeating itself. That's right. You know what's going on. Headlines say, Trump rally causes riots. Protests at Trump rallies turn violent, as though the people who are attending the Trump rallies are doing it. You well know who's doing it. It's the New York Post doing it. It's the Associated Press doing it. And behind it all is the evil genius George Soros, to the best of my knowledge, the best I can figure out. These violent, ugly third worlders are being funded by, and they're funded. You think they're just showing up spontaneously? Isn't this odd that there are riots at these rallies for Donald Trump, and they're calling them protests? Listen to what people are saying. I mean, you read what people are saying, and you understand what the American people are saying. And the fact of the matter is, the more they riot, the more they beat up people in wheelchairs, the more they attack cops, the more they turn over police cars, the more people are turning to Donald Trump. So keep it up, all of you intolerant vermin, because your time is coming. You will see justice in your lifetime, and you know it. You don't tolerate the views of those you don't agree with, and you think you're living in America. What you're doing is you're imposing your third world values on us, and we're not going to take it. I'll be very honest with you. These freaks want the U.S. taxpayer to accept the financial burden of Mexico's impoverished, while the Mexican government officials live in luxury. The United States, if it is not stopped, the U.S. will become an appendage of Mexico, another poverty-stricken state of Mexico, which is why Trump is rising. That's the end of the Trump thing. I have the Trump bobbleheads. I'm eating a Trump sandwich. I have Trump water. I have Trump vodka. I have Trump shoes. I'm ordering a Trump nail polish kit, Trump pants, Trump belt. I think there's going to be a Trump mobile very soon. I put an order in for a Trump mobile. It runs on its own power. And so I am loyal, but I'm not going to do this today. I've had enough of it. That's it. That concludes the Trump element of the Savage Nation today, because I think you've had all we can take on this. There are other things I want to talk about, and some of the stories are quite good, such as, what am I going to talk about? You'll never guess. Are you ready? I was reading a story about a beautiful, successful blonde doctor, a married mother of three, a dermatologist, no less. Married to a dermatologist from Roslyn, New York. Three beautiful children, right? And she was found dead in Manhattan in the doorway of a weird apartment building, her panties stashed in her handbag, dying of a drug overdose. Kirsten Rickenbach-Cervini. On the face of it all, she had everything. If you looked at her on Instagram or Facebook, she was the perfect woman. Doctor, husband, doctor, three children, nice house, great career. Meanwhile, she was leading a second life, a double life, as it were. I have a question for you in the audience today, those of you not on antidepressants. Actually, no, those of you on antidepressants. Those of you secretly using drugs. Are you ready for this? What is your hidden double life? Don't tell me you don't have one, because you do. And for radio, for the listening audience out there, believe me, they'd rather hear about your double life than about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. We could talk about that, and I'm going to talk about this. What is your hidden double life? Also, for those of you who missed pieces of my interview by Larry King, which was conducted on Monday, replayed yesterday on my show. It'll be on his show somewhere, I don't know, at the end of the week. Nobody gets RT, so I don't think you're going to watch it. I'm going to replay pieces of the Larry King interview because this is a news story, King versus Savage over Trump, because they try to set me up. I mean, he was reading a script. It was out to get Donald Trump. He thought he turned me into an apologist for Donald Trump, but he doesn't understand I'm not an apologist for anybody. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. You look at the Facebook page of this young doctor. Photo album, photogenic, well-loved, well-traveled, celebrating her birthday in 08 with her husband, Andrew, also a dermatologist. Dressed up in another picture for a formal event, looking carefree. People said on Instagram or Facebook, what a good-looking couple. There's pictures of the doctor in Jackie O-style sunglasses on vacation in Hawaii. There she is partying in New Orleans. There she is skiing in Whistler. There she's in a thick spa robe. There she is dining by the fireplace, living with a family in her home in Manhasset, Long Island. On Facebook, she seemed to be filled with a great life. Happy people all around her. Do you know that there are 80 million photos posted on Instagram every day? 80 million. I've never posted a photo on Instagram. I heard about it. I was told to leave my website. I was told to leave Facebook. I was told to start posting on Instagram. I haven't gotten to that. I'm using the equivalent of the Royal Portable in social media. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I'm using Facebook. It took me years to even bother with, to be honest with you. 1.49 billion active users per month on Instagram. Twitter has 316 million active accounts. Tumblr has 230 million. Pinterest, well, pint, how do you call it, Robert? Pinterest? Pinterest? Pine? Pinterest? Has 47.66 million unique visitors from the U.S. alone, and is the fastest growing independent site in history. Now, what is the point of all of this? Because most of us are leading two lives, one online, one offline. And studies that are coming out show us that those who live online more than they live, let's say, in the real life, the fake life they're posting, makes them more vulnerable to depression. And if you're spending hours on social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you are probably more vulnerable to depression, loneliness, and low self-worth. This has been studied, by the way, and I can give you the studies. And the study authors of this particular study from Germany, who monitored 584 Facebook users, they found that one out of three feel worse after checking what their friends were up to, especially if those friends had just posted vacation photos. Did you know any of this? Overall, wrote the authors of the study, shared content does not have to be explicitly boastful for feelings of envy to emerge. In fact, they said a lonely user might envy numerous birthday wishes his more sociable peer receives on his Facebook wall. Equally, a friend's change in the relationship status from single to in a relationship might cause emotional havoc for someone undergoing a breakup. That's just the beginning of what I want to talk about, because these studies are coming out. And even kids as young as 15 years old or even younger, if they find out they're not invited to a school dance, they go into severe depression. Did you know any of this? Thank God it wasn't around when I was a kid. I have no idea what I would have done on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. I had enough trouble without all of that fake life out there. But what I'm saying is people use these sites to create false images of themselves. They run their perfect lives on these sites. They take photographs of a piece of their apartment that is staged by IKEA while the rest of their apartment is in chaos, not in IKEA. They're using one wall that is perfect while the rest of the house is a disaster. And they buy things just to maintain that little image. That's how sick this is. And so people are talking about this, this story right now. And it all goes back to the hidden life of Kirsten Rickenbach-Cerveny, the dermatologist with the three beautiful children. She was beautiful. Winds up dead in the doorway of a drug overdose with the panties in a bag. You hear? That's what the parents sacrificed to send her to medical school for. So she could wind up dead in the doorway with the panties in a bag. But she's not alone, and I'm not mocking her. I'm not glorifying her. She did what she did. That's what she did. She walked on the wild side, and she OD'd. That's all. It happened. But there's a bigger story there because she's not the only one leading a double life. Perhaps you are. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We're talking about that. we're talking about Michael Savage being interviewed by Larry King. And what you thought of that interview? I don't know if it's played yet on RT. Someone said they saw RT. Let me go to that. Liz, WMAL in Washington. Liz, you saw it already.
I did. Hello, Mr. Savage. Thank you so much.
Wait. You mean RT ran it already with me and Larry?
Yes, we watched it last night, and just his way of questioning. I just want to applaud you that you didn't fall for his, you know, he just wanted to trap you. It was pretty obvious with the questions that he had for you that he just wanted to.
Did you see him constantly looking down after I answered him at the next question?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he had a script that the libs wrote for him to attack me. They thought they could nail me. Little did they know that I've been around longer than they have, and they have to go a longer way than they've gone to try to nail Michael Savage to a cross. Because let me tell you something, I built the cross and I cast the spikes. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This guy, listen, we're playing Sympathy for the Devil because the topic of the day is, what is your double life? What are you secretly doing that no one knows about? And I'm tying it into, whether you know it or not, the lies on Facebook, the fake lives people are putting up about how happy they are, the little Hallmark life that they put up, and it's making people totally crazy. There is an anti-social media movement on the horizon that I'm trying to tell you about. People are starting to react to this because especially young mothers, we're finding out, are feeling pressure to present their perfect life on these Instagrams, and they're starting to feel overwhelmed and annoyed, according to the studies. Here's an example. Young people, pay attention, especially if you're very accomplished and you're very beautiful. Are you ready for this one? They're the most vulnerable. Here's a story. Madison Hollerin, beautiful Ivy League student, star athlete, all-around popular girl. Her Instagram account only underscored this image. Parties, friends, track meets, her dad cheering her on. But Madison was keenly aware of the difference between her online life and a real one. And she once corrected a mother who told ESPN the magazine that after looking at Madison's photos, she turned to her daughter and said, "Madison, you look like you're so happy at this party." Mom, Madison said, "It's just a picture." Well, here's the sad truth. On January 14, 2014, Madison posted a photo of trees strung with lights, bulbs glowing against the twilight. An hour later, she leapt to her death from the ninth floor of a parking garage. So if you think that there are no consequences to living online, I got news for you, okay? And the callers, and by the way, the girl was 19 years old. What are you hiding out there on the Savage Nation? Put a handkerchief over the mouthpiece of your telephone and tell us what your double life is. Bill on WMAL, what's your double life, Bill?
Well, I can't believe I'm actually admitting this. I'm a single, lifelong single career professional, own my own business, and been with a lot of beautiful women, and some of the beautiful ones I know went to a gay club, an all-men's club, and believe it or not, I hooked up with men, and I have since then. I hooked up with both. I'm not gay. Not there's anything wrong with it. And it was a beautiful experience. I'm shocked. It was a wonderful, beautiful experience, and I can tell you why if you're interested.
Wait. What was beautiful? What part of it was beautiful?
Just that there's no games, and they you can tell when they're excited, and most of them are clean, and they take care of themselves, and there's no agenda. There's no.
Wait, what a salesman you are for the homosexual lifestyle. You're doing a good job, Bill. Keep going. I'm sure you'll be approved by LGBT groups.
No,
you could become the poster boy.
No, that's what's it. I can't believe I'm actually calling you. I'm a conservative, but it was a beautiful. This is my way to get it off my shoulders. But I'm a conservative guy, an ultra conservative, if you will.
Wait, hold. I'm not. You went to a club where women pick up men, and you picked up a man, and you were happy.
I know a lot of beautiful women, and they were going out dancing, and they said they like to go to, you know, all men gay clubs because they like to dance, and they get left alone. And they drugged me.
The women took you to a gay club, and you met a man.
They took me there. They're like, "Come on, we'll be fun, we'll drink, we'll dance." And all the guys leave me.
All right. But you're saying in the midst of it all that you're not gay. I mean, come on, let's be clear. You are gay.
I don't know. I mean, what is gay? I don't know. I mean, I hook up with both men.
I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist, nor do I care about your personal life. I'm only doing this because it's a radio show, and I'm asking people to tell me what their double secret life is. Look, I've said this before. I'm a sexual libertarian. I don't care what adults do with each other to get pleasure. I'm not into it. I don't. It's as interesting to me, you know, as the alimentary canal, what people do with each other. But that's not the point. I mean, is this your whole secret? This is what you secretly do?
Is it secret? I'm giving up on Facebook and Twitter because that's just supporting the ultra-left liberal business owners in Silicon Valley that are out of their freaking minds. So I'm not even social. But, I mean, is it, you tell me. You're the doctor. Is it secretive? I mean, you're the first.
I'm a doctor of nutrition and epidemiology, not of psychology, my friend. I'm not even saying you need a psychologist. It seems to me like you're happy. Are you very happy doing what you do?
That's my point. I don't know what I'd call myself, what label society or someone would put on me. I just, hey, I'm up front. I don't mislead anyone. You want to have fun? You want to do this? You want to do that?
Are you in a relationship with a woman? Is that what you're saying? That's why it's a secret life?
I mean, I'm seeing someone. Again, I'm single. I mean, you know, I don't own her. She's not my property. She's free to do her thing.
But does she know does she know you're hooking up with men?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, my God, no.
But wait a minute. You just said, oh, my God, oh, no. Now you're ashamed of it.
Well, I mean, no, I'm not ashamed of it at all. I fear her reaction. She's like most women. That's what I'm saying. Most guys are drama free. She would, oh my God, the venom that would shoot out of her. Oh, Maru.
Oh, a touch of misogyny coming out of you right now, Bill.
Maybe it is. I don't know what to call it, but I fear, oh, she's got a temper.
The venom that would come shooting out of her. It's very graphic. That's along the lines of, I built a cross and I cast the spikes. That's pretty good. You should consider a career in radio, Bill. You're pretty good at the wordology.
And I don't know what I'm good at. I'm just trying to be honest with you here and let you know. I honestly fear her.
Okay, and you're a you hook up with men. You're a conservative. You love Ronald Reagan and you worship the U.S. Constitution. Okay, have a nice life out there, Bill. Just if I were your dad, I'd say be careful.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have breaking news. Trumpomania continues to barnstorm across America. We have a live update for you from Anaheim, California, where Trump himself is embracing women from the crowd on the Savage Nation.
It was beautiful, and we actually, you wouldn't believe it, to watch television within that arena. It was like a love fest. It was beautiful. Packed, packed place. And outside they showed some other things, but, you know, it's one of those things. A lot of flags. Thank you. Thank you. Don't worry about it.
All right, we'll come back to this when he makes a statement that's new, something beyond Let's Make America Great Again. Maybe you'll get more specific like he did on my show a couple of times when he was on last month or the month before. And I'm expecting Donald on again in the near future. The fact is that I'd rather do radio right now than simply sit here as a conduit, let us say, for publicity. So now let's go to the callers on the show. We're talking about your secret double life. If you just tuned in, what's real and what's fake about you? Oh, what? The average guy driving around in a car just, what did he just say, that guy Savage? What's real and what's fake? Yeah, what's fake about you? What do you do that no one knows about? What's your secret double life? This is radio at its best. This is radio at its best. Now let's go to Donald Trump again, just for a minute. I'm curious what he's saying now.
We're going to do, but it wasn't going to happen. And I said, I think they're wrong. I think we're going to make it easily. And boy, did I turn out to be right.
All right, it's enough already. We'll come back when he says so. Thank you very much. All right, Lance on line two, KSFO San Francisco. What's on your mind, Lance?
Yes, doctor. My secret life is that sometimes I tune into RT. And the other night, your dog was on RT, and Larry King was there, too.
Yes, and I wasn't?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was sort of like the Wizard of Oz. You did very well. I thought it was more like a sport than anything else. It was strictly mano a mano, like boxers or a pitcher and a batter. It was like a tennis match.
Wait, you already had the gay caller. Stop with the pitcher and batter already, please.
He was trying to tee you up, but you insisted on being a moving ball. It was very good.
That's interesting. Yeah, he teed me up with questions like, Trump wants to make America great again. Why, it's not great enough? Where do you want to take us back to? Slavery? The Depression? Women can't vote? That was absurd. He was a little trapped when I said that's an absurd argument. It's called reducto ad absurdum. You know what that is, Larry. He didn't know what it was. I can't, you know, he didn't go to college or high school, I don't think. But he's a very intelligent man. Frankly, a nice man. I like the guy. I'll have a bagel with him, even though I'm not eating gluten these days. Actually, I'm eating no wheat at all. Actually, I'm not eating any starch these days. But I still break a bagel with him. Let's put it to you this way. I'll take the hole, not the bagel. So you like the RT interview?
Very good. And I thought that what Larry King was doing was being, how shall I say, Sanders' surrogate. And he expected you to be Trump's surrogate. But you see what I'm getting at? And it became
Yeah. He took on the Sanders approach to me,
yeah.
And he wanted me to become Donald Trump and get defensive for him.
Yeah, and now let's play this game that has no rules. It was interesting.
Well, I could talk about this one some other day, because there are rules to this kind of combat, verbal combat. And people who are jiu-jitsu artists in the physical world understand how to use movements against force and use the other man's force against him. And there's a third way, which is not even to react to the man at all. And that man will often go right off the mat. In other words, he comes at you, you step aside, he'll fall off the mat without you even doing a thing. And I think that at a certain point in your life, if you were in the state of mind for it, I wasn't in a particularly secure state of mind. I had rushed that day, things had happened that I won't even want to describe. But I'm such a consummate professional that by the time I got in front of that Skype camera, there was nothing but me and him on that screen. Then nothing happened to me before it, and I had no life before that moment. You know, that's a very important point. It's the same with Trump speaking on a stage. When he's on that stage, he had no life before that stage. This is the thing about oratorical skills. This is the thing about presentation in any sphere of your life, whether you're playing golf or you're speaking to a large auditorium or you're speaking on a microphone to millions of people. There's no past, by the way, and there is no future. You're living in the present. And the present dictates terms to you that you may not have expected, and you've just got to be ready to move with the present, is what I'm saying. Does that make any sense, Lance?
Absolutely. And what I would say is that I think you've been practicing for that particular match last night for all of your life. And it doesn't really matter whether you were tired or hungry or whatever. You were prepared to perform because you'd been working on it.
You know, but I haven't been working on it. Larry King is, sad to say, he's a nice guy. No one watches him. He's on a little, you know, show on RT. They asked me to come on for the book a week before, and I canceled. I didn't want to do it. I didn't feel well, and I didn't think it was important enough. How many people really watch him on RT? Tiny audience. Maybe 1/1,000th of my audience here on radio. Okay, Lance? But I did it for a couple of reasons. I wanted the people to see Teddy in Russia, in case they wanted to make a statue to him in Lenin Square. I thought they should see a picture of him in Russia. See, it's an international show. That was the reason I wanted to be on RT. Okay, Lance, I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me. Thanks for being a good sport. In case you know what we're talking about, you will know what we're talking about. WFTL, Adam, what's your secret life? That's more important to me. Adam, what's your secret life?
That I'm a drug addict, and I have been for a long, long time. And I basically have, you know, a nice life and, you know, wife and kids and the home. But I have this secret that no one knows about, and it's
what kind of drugs do you use?
It's something you always harping on is marijuana, but this is 30 years of using every day.
Well, if it's hold on, this is interesting. If you're using 30 days and you have a good family and everything's working, so for you it's not a bad thing, and yet you're calling and saying it's a secret life. So which part of it bothers you?
Well, I recently had an incident with police, and I don't know if it was because of that, but I got caught lying. It's kind of been a turn.
How many kids do you have, Adam?
Two.
How old are they?
One's graduating from high school this year, and I got another one in high school, junior.
And they don't smell the marijuana on your breath? They don't smell it on you?
I'm very, very sneaky about it. Pretty sneaky about
it. So you're like a kid in the house, in other words. You're smoking pot behind your kids' back.
Huh?
You're smoking pot behind your children's backs.
Yes, I am.
And does that make you feel guilty?
Yes.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Would you recommend that your children smoke marijuana, given that you don't seem to have any negative effects from it?
No.
Why? If it's not harmed you, why would you not recommend it?
honestly, I think I would be more successful than I am if I hadn't smoked pot. I think it's, hampered.
You know, this is like a man I know who sold his company for $400 million, and he said if he wasn't as obsessed with women as he has been all his life, he would have sold it for $800 million. He would have made more money. So, I mean, how do you really know? You know, you don't really know what you would be without marijuana. The fact is it's a very addictive drug, and the proof of that is that try to get off it and see how easy it is. You know, all the people who defend marijuana don't realize that it's a very addictive substance. It's very difficult to withdraw from. And people who withdraw from it get cravings that are overwhelming, and they won't admit it to themselves. They think they can get off it. It's very hard to get off. You know that. Ask anyone in treatment. It's a very, very addictive drug.
Right. And they know.
Does your wife know that you smoke pot?
She does a little bit, but not to the extent.
All right. Does she smoke pot?
No, absolutely not.
Is this the only drug you use?
Basically. I mean, occasionally.
Oh, when you say, yeah, basically, I hear something else under that.
Well, I have used other drugs. I don't do it anymore when I was younger. You know, the gateway thing.
All right, so you can't give it up in plain English, but you're guilty over it. And you're guilty over it because you're hiding it. But if you weren't hiding it, it's not really affecting your life negatively, is it?
Not really, no. But
all right, so what are you going to do? Some people can do it and it doesn't bother them. There are other people who are hypersensitive to the psychoactive effects and they can't touch the garbage. It's that simple. There's nothing I could say, but at least you had a chance to speak to Reverend Savage and get dispensation today. The wafer is in the mail. I have little wafers with pictures of Teddy on them that when you swallow it with a full glass of water, 12 ounces first thing in the morning, you're guilt-free for the day. WABC Steve, what's your secret? What's your double life? You're on the Savage Nation.
All right, well, I didn't want to tell anyone, but I am a severely abused child mentally and physically, and I'm very typical for this. I drink a great deal. I'm 55 years old. I smoke marijuana a lot. I have a federal job and two other jobs, and I'm a severe workaholic, and I'm also a womanizer, a terrible woman. As a matter of fact, today I didn't go to work so I could go and see my girlfriend.
Well, who's in the background? Your girlfriend? I heard a voice.
I'm in a jewelry store paying off a 30th anniversary ring.
For who, the girlfriend or the wife?
Wife.
Well, isn't the girlfriend going to get jealous?
No, they know about each other.
Oh, now, come on, now you're pulling my leg. You don't live in France. How does this work?
My 25.
He's really in a jewelry store. This is funny. Come on, are you serious? So your big thing is that you were an abused child. As a result, you drink a lot and you cheat on your wife. That's a quite. You're justifying your behavior. You know that.
Thank you. Well, actually, I'm in the middle of reading a book called Fantasy Bond, and it explains that we're all extremely defensive people, and this is just part of the outcome of being severely mentally, physically abused, and I'm a terribly beaten child, both physically and being browbeaten and other bad stuff like that.
Are you serious? You're just making this up for radio. Come on, are you pulling our legs?
Mike, I swear to God, and a few people who know me don't.
Well, hold on. Let me go back to this for a minute. You're telling me that you cheat on your wife, you're a womanizer, you're a big drinker. It's because, what, your father abused you or your mother?
My mother severely abused me, and then when I was about 15 till about 17, my father used to take me to his favorite girlfriends, and I am.
Steve, what's your ethnic background? Italian or Jewish?
I'm Jewish, German, Russian, Polish.
That's a hard one to follow. So we can't blame it on your ethnic background. Can we blame it on your ancestors as well?
No, I am. My mother was mentally ill and couldn't handle us, and I am 132 IQ. They tossed me out at 17 and a half. Because my older sister planted marijuana pipes in my room, and I graduated early from high school. I had gone to one term of college, and I had been working for 3 weeks. And I came home, and it was trouble city because my sister, who was
hold on. I'm trying to follow your double life. Your double life is you're married. How many years are you married, Steve?
30 years and in 3 weeks.
And your wife knows nothing about your womanizing?
No, she doesn't. Well, she knows about this one. And,
I see. I wanted to trap you because you said they know each other. But wait, okay, so you're still telling the truth. Because so it's a little bit of the Hillary and Bill situation.
No, I live with my wife. We have a great life together, and I bought a house and trying to pay it off. And my girlfriend lives in Brooklyn, and she's a part timer, and I have a good time with her. But I'm always on the I'm always looking for someone new. I have had one day stands where I meet women in the supermarket and convince them to go to bed.
Well, now guys are going to ask for your secrets next on Instagram.
Well,
how does a guy as messed up as you get a woman to sleep with him in a supermarket?
I'm 132 IQ. I got a great personality, a sparkling personality, great wit.
I love this guy. This guy has some confidence in him. So for a guy who was abused, you really like yourself.
Well, at 17 and a half being released from my house, I had to live on my own for a while, and I had realized that most of the lessons I was taught...
Are you a good-looking guy? Would you declare yourself good-looking?
I've been told I'm a 7.
Okay, give me your height.
I'm 5'6", 163 pounds. I'm not that muscular, but I got great legs. I was a bicyclist.
How does the woman in a supermarket know you have great legs?
Well, I used to wear spandex a lot in the summer times. You know?
What do you wear? You wear yoga pants in the supermarket?
You know, like 15 years ago and more when they were in vogue for men.
You know, my friend, this sounds a little bit on what we would say in Brooklyn, a little meshuggah to me. I think you're making it up as you go along because you're having fun on the radio. Did you make any of this up?
I am not having fun. This is the God's honest truth. I've been to 4 psychologists and 1 psychiatrist, and they told me I am a sociopath.
Oh.
I'm an unloved child with episodes of psychotic. I have psychotic episodes every now and then.
God. Well, the only thing left for you is the Republican Party. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
So, we go down the line, and I was so honored to get their support. And I started, actually, I have a structural engineer who's really terrific. I said, do me a favor. Let me see. I mean, this guy's got good talent. I mean, what I do better than anybody is build. I build. I'm a really good builder. I build.
Trump at a huge rally.
In fact,
in Anaheim,
I'm opening up.
And he is confirming that he will build that wall, build that wall, build that wall. The crowd is out of control with joy. This man will be the next president. He's going to win by a landslide, no matter what anyone tells you. He is really popular. Women love him. Men love him. The ethnic minorities are going to vote for him, whether they say so or not. They know very well what's at stake here. They don't want to see the country they ran away from emerging in this country. I mean, let's just put two and two together. You're running from a hellhole called Mexico or El Salvador because of the policies of socialism and demagoguery. And you're coming to America. You're making a good living. Do you want what you left behind to emerge here? You think they're stupid just because they're a bricklayer? Let's listen to Donald for a minute.
Let's not say that because nobody even would believe it. But we're almost to. But I say 1 year because I want to be very nice. I want to be respectful. But we're 1 year ahead of schedule, more than that. And we're under budget. And the building is much
right,
better than...
Build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. We're going to talk about your double life. We're going to talk about the breaking news. 3 ways Facebook and other social media mess with your mind. Right here on your Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
When they see guns, no more gun-free stuff, right? Gun-free zone. Oh, gun-free zone. Great. You know what that is? That's like candy to a bad person. Gun-free zones! That means, come on, that means nobody can protect themselves in those rooms. How about the 5 soldiers they killed a year ago? These are master soldiers. These are great soldiers. One of them was one of the great marksmen in all of the armed forces. Put your guns away. It's a gun-free zone. this whack job walks in and kills all five of them, right? Gun-free zone. So I will tell you, we are going to protect our Second Amendment, all right? We're going to protect it.
We're listening to Donald Trump live from Anaheim on the Savage Nation. We're going to tune in and out of his great speech. He's giving a very fiery speech. He confirmed that he will build that wall. He confirmed just now, as you heard, that he's going to protect the Second Amendment. This is so necessary in this meltdown of the West. I have a story for you that is related to this. In Bavaria, in Germany, they are hiring illegal Muslim migrants, if you want to call them that, as police officers in order to impose Sharia law. They're hiring Muslim illegals as police officers, not even German citizens, in order to insist that Angela Merkel's mad desire to destroy the character, the history, the nature of Germany be completed. This is how psychotic this is becoming. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282. Our main topic, as you know, is what is your double life? What is your double life? What do you do that you don't want anyone to know about? Now, we've got some great callers on this one on the Savage Nation. Let's begin right now on line 5. Livia, line 5 from KBET Radio. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I'm here in Las Vegas from Yonkers, New York. Been here 22 years. And my double life is that I'm a transvestite. I live as a woman every day except for work.
And?
I have to boy up and go into work.
What is your name as a man?
I'm not going to say on the radio, Michael.
All right, so the bottom line is you're leading a double life. You go to work as a man and at home you dress as a woman?
And not just walking around at home, I mean my whole life. The bank, shopping with friends, whatever. My whole life.
All right, so this is, okay, we understand this, but I don't understand one part of it. In this age where the life of the transvestite, assuming you're a pre-op, are you an operated upon individual or are you a man biologically still?
I am a man biologically still and have no other surgeries.
So the question I'm asking is, why are you hiding it? If people are doing this today, what do you have to hide it at work for?
I work for a union. And if I were to show up for work all dolled up like I usually am, it's not like they're going to fire me or punish me, but it works on call. The casinos request you. And that's such an obstruction and distraction from work and such drama. They just won't call me anymore. And it's
you're a freelancer. You're a freelancer. You're a fill-in.
I work regularly, but the unions, you kind of work on call here.
Let me ask you a mechanical question from an outsider looking in. You dress as a woman in your private life. You work as a man. When you do your nails as a woman, how do you change back to a man's hand to go to work?
I use very nice press-ons. It takes a little work, but you just pull them right off.
Do you go out with men?
I do.
And nobody knows this at your workplace?
My friends tell me, oh, come on, Livia, they can tell, they're just not saying anything. I mean, the people at my work, they think I'm, you know, a unique kind of person, but I don't think it goes, they think it goes to this level.
But have you thought about just coming out totally as a woman and just ending the duality?
It is my dream, Michael, and with many trans people, it's a dream that can never be achieved to get your face done, your breasts done, and everything. And they have to live most of their lives like this. It's just the most fortunate ones who can afford that.
Did you always do this as a kid?
I did not, Michael. To me, it was a middle age thing. It didn't come out till middle age.
Well, I mean, as a young guy, were you dating girls?
Absolutely.
So what was the turning point?
I don't know, Michael. Well, at one point, I started becoming bisexual, and I would date girls, but on the side would go off and be with men once in a while. And then I guess I don't know, Michael. That's a mystery.
Do your parents know? Did they ever know about it? Are they alive?
My parents, my mother is in Yonkers, New York still. That's where my family's at. They have no idea. They're 2,000 miles away, Michael, just where I am.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You go home and visit your parents. Do you go as the man or the woman?
I go as the man. They have no idea. But
A mother knows everything about a son. She must know what you're doing.
I don't think so, Michael. She's pretty old school. She would never think this would happen to one of her kids.
Well, look, I'm not going to, what can I say about this? You know, you're leading a life that you chose to lead, so what can you say about it? I mean, this is what you're doing. So what's the point of you calling a radio show and what I'm asking about your double life? What is the purpose of calling the show? What do you hope to get out of exposing this to? No one knows you, but what are you getting out of this?
Well, my friends from my woman life will know me on the radio, and I don't mind that. And
why? Because they listen to you in Las Vegas on the station KBET.
Yes, they know I'm a huge fan of you and your show, and they listen too sometimes.
Would you define yourself as what? A trans what?
I would define myself as a transvestite because I have no surgeries.
All right. Look, different strokes for different folks. What can I say? I mean, it doesn't shock me, you know. I'm an older guy. I mean, I've seen everything, basically. I've heard everything. I've read everything. How does it affect my life for you to do what you do? I don't understand why it bothers anyone.
But, Michael, you asked me what am I getting out of this phone call. And I think what me and all the other people calling your show on this subject, it's getting it off our chest a little bit. We breathe a little easier after talking to you about
it. No, it's interesting. I mean, it's just talk radio, but it is a sort of forum. But no one knows who you are, so you're getting it off your chest in a weird way that no one really knows you. So you're not getting it off. What is this, like a group therapy thing?
And we're getting it off our chest to someone we admire. Your opinion matters to us, and we want to...
Maybe I should do a rally in Las Vegas for the trans community.
There should be.
Oh, come on now. Who's pulling whose leg here? Come on. Is this a real call, Livia? Honestly.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't know with a show like this whether someone's just doing it to have fun with the audience and me or if they're really pouring their heart out. I think in your case, the latter is true. I think you're really letting it all hang out. How many people in Las Vegas would you say lead a life like you do?
Oh, many. You have no idea, Michael. They're school teachers, they're city officials, county officials, they're dealers, casino managers. I've met them all.
What's the bargain about being a woman? I don't get it. In other words, if you're a man, what's the bargain? Even women don't want to be women, a lot of them. They're tired of it.
Michael, to be honest with you, there are lots of advantages. Just Monday morning, me and a friend of mine, a lesbian girl, we were going fishing out here in Lake Mead. My truck got stuck in the mud all the way up to the running boards. The tow truck guy came out and pulled us out and gave us half off. Now, if we were two guys, he would never have done that.
So you're saying you're actually demonstrating that chivalry is not dead.
Yeah, Mike, it has its advantages. But living as a woman, I definitely see the dark side of men.
Oh, but, you know, a woman's life is very hard, putting on makeup and having to be beautiful. Guys don't have to go through that. A guy throws water on his face, brushes his hair back, and throws his clothes on. A woman has to take a long time to go out of the house, doesn't she?
Yes, and a woman like me, it takes even longer.
So why do you go through it, though?
It's a labor of love. It's who I am and who I want to be. And if I...
Okay, well, look, I want to ask you one other question. What happens to people like you when they get old? What happens to the older transvestite? What happens to you?
Most of them live their full lives because they retire. They don't have to worry about work anymore. And now they can live as a woman every day. That's who they can be. They're divorced. They don't care about their ex-wives. Their kids are out of the house.
Are there special nursing homes for trans people?
I don't know that, Michael. I don't know.
It's a crazy question. If we're lucky, we get old, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a weird statement I just made. If we're lucky, we get old, and then the bargain really begins. You know, getting old is a real challenge. It's not easy when you start to lose it. And the question is, how do people like you cope in a nursing home situation if you're lucky enough to get there? Well, that's a topic for another day. I don't know anything about it, but I think that what you're saying, what you've said so far is actually real. You really do lead a double life. I don't think it's as unusual as we may think. You're in this world. I'm going to ask one last question. You have a lot of friends who do this in Las Vegas, and some of them are probably macho men. Isn't that true?
No, Michael, I don't have a lot of friends who are like me. A lot of the people I know in my trans life are gay, you know, men or women, but very few girls like me.
All right, but I was going to ask another question, which is kind of irrelevant to this point because you basically took the wind out of it. Why do you listen to this radio show if I'm such a right-winger?
Because, Michael, I don't think you're such a right-winger. I think you're more libertarian, as I am. I'm an independent, Michael. I've never carried a party card. I vote.
Yeah, well, that's the absolute truth. I'm not a Republican. I never have been. And the reason do you support Trump?
I do, Michael, 100%.
Well, I would think anyone in a vulnerable community would support Trump. Why would you want to bring Sharia law to a country when Sharia law would throw you off a roof or throw you down a well?
Or hang me from a crane, like in Iraq.
No, it's no joke. I mean, I don't know how the whole gay community in America doesn't understand this. I don't understand that at all. Did he not understand what he's actually saying? He actually is going to protect the minority sexual communities in this country.
And Michael, let me say one thing before you let me go about Trump. Remember, Donald Trump was the first beauty pageant owner to allow a transgender woman to be in, what was it, Miss America, or the one he owns?
I don't really know, but let me say this. You're a very nice person. I can hear it in your voice. I know that what you do is a struggle for you. There's no question about it. I don't think that it gives you great joy. I don't think that this liberation has led you to any more happiness than you would have had the other way, but that's your life that you have to unfold. You have to live through it, right? Not me. And looking back, would you do it in a different way? Livia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Michael.
Looking back on your life, would you have done anything differently?
Yes, looking back on my life now, I would have transitioned from as a little kid. I wish I could have done this, you know, right after high school.
All right. Well, I'll send you something that is about a being that is not confused about his sexuality. He's a little boy dog named Teddy. Do you know why we love animals, Livia? Because they're not plagued like we are with doubts and questions about ourselves. They are what they are. They don't have these torments raging through their soul, Livia. And I wish you very, very great luck in your life. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So look, Donald Trump is still speaking in Anaheim, I believe. I'm not going to cut back to it unless he says something new. He's doing great. The crowds love him. And the people who are opposing him are organized, waving Mexican flags. Let them keep waving their Mexican flag. What they are ultra-brown supremacists. You know, you heard the phrase white supremacists. Well, there are white supremacists, but, you know, what goes around comes around, man. There are brown supremacists, and they are there. And La Raza is a brown supremacist group, and they've been in the White House for years now. So if you want to get it on, man, let's get it on, people are saying. Go wave your Mexican flag, because we're going to start waving our American flag in your face. And it's our country, not yours. That's what's going on right now. And that's why I'm talking about another topic entirely, because I don't want to get too excited over this. I'm not running for office. I'm simply running a radio show. Barbara on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
I don't have a secret to bring forth today, but I was very extremely touched by your interview with Olivia. It was very heartfelt. I brought tears to my eyes. The whole topic was just absolutely...
Well, because you probably think I'm a bad guy and I'm gruff and I'm not sensitive. It's the exact opposite of who I am.
Yeah, well, I know.
I don't know why a man who is strong has to be mean. I mean, I'm strong and I'm not mean. I'm strong and I'm very nice.
Absolutely. That you're a man. You are a man with a capital M.
And I'm a human being, and she was a human being. The woman who called with the man-woman thing, it's a human being who called because she's in pain. There's no question that she didn't call because she was boasting about her double life. She was in agony. And I heard that in her voice. She was only trying to let it out of her system a little bit, right or wrong?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, well, thank you for the call. Let's go quickly in the time that remains. I don't have time for Alicia on WABC, who is leading a double life. She says she's married and she has a boyfriend. Now, I think this is a great topic. Pardon me, but I know radio. I have an instinct for this. This is more interesting than Hillary Clinton. It's more interesting than Donald Trump. Yes, of course, it's important, but every second, no. And so if you want to expose your double life, what you're hiding, to a massive audience without giving away your name, place, and social security number, the phone number is 855-407-282. Also, we may get to a piece of the Larry King interview, which is all over the internet now. Apparently, it's caught fire, and people are commenting on it like crazy, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Hey, why don't you do it in the road? Why don't you do it in the road? Yeah, do it in the road. It feels good, do it. That's the world we're living in today. Let's go to some of the callers. Mary on WMAL Line 1, what's on your mind, Mary?
Oh, hello, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to talk about your program today, which is very interesting because I do not have a fake life or a second life or a hidden life. I have one life. It's called a real life. I live in reality. You might call it Aristotelian. I know you'll appreciate that.
Well, no, I understand what Aristotelian logic is, but what is an Aristotelian life?
Well, if you see things as they are, for what they are, so that a stick is a stick, a stone is a stone, it's not some imaginary thing. I am what I am, a woman, a married, with a wife, children, a home, and I'm very happy that way.
You're very grounded. You know what is up and what is down. You know what's right and what is wrong, in other words.
Exactly. So we don't do any of the social media at all. We don't have any of those contraptions. And also there's this loss of a sense of privacy within your family when you expose things to everyone on these sites.
Well, of course, this real housewives kind of thing in the reality shows, none of them are real. They're all fake. They're all staged. We all know that. The worst of them are these survival shows that Nat Geo runs, like Naked and Afraid. I mean, you've got cameramen behind them. How really are they in the jungle kind of thing? Everything is a double faker now. It's very hard to lead a real life in a world of fakery, isn't it?
It's so happy and so free because you know what's what. You know that, if you have plans to go to someplace for a holiday with the kids, they're all excited. Everybody, you do things as a family.
If I were to define what you're saying, you're leading a traditional 1950s American life with father, mother knows best.
Right, that's exactly right. And
that would be laughed at today by the smart people in Hollywood, right? They'd laugh at you. You're part of the past. A woman with her feet on the ground who knows reality, who's straight as an arrow, when the chrome was thick and the women were straight, in other words.
Yes, exactly. And it's a very fulfilling life. And I remember one time I taught school, and there was a push by some of the teachers to have computers in the classrooms. And the principal of the school was a very learned Benedictine monk. And I said, Father, why do you oppose having computers in the classrooms? He said, because they're not real. He said, it's an image.
That's where you leave me, because I find that the Internet has given me great comfort in my life. I'm an extremely creative, inventive human being. I always have been. Do you know what it saves me in time when I'm bored, which is often, that I could go on the Internet and go anywhere that I want to go? I can look up the cost of used Jaguars, for example. I'll give you one example. I could look at the cost of boats I might be interested in, and for those few minutes actually have a boat again when I don't really want a boat again. Or look up an obscure topic such as the chemical structure of niacin and see whether it compares with the chemical structure of statin drugs. Things like that. I mean, I can't do that. I couldn't do that years ago. I'd have to go to libraries for days to do things like that, Mary.
With you on that point, I think what Father was getting at was the fact that to use it as a teaching, means of teaching kids things. I mean, it's just an image on a screen.
Well, he's stuck in the page wrong about that. I have to disagree with you. I feel that you can have your feet on the ground as you do and also live in the world of today. But we can disagree on this. I don't know how you can turn the computer or the internet off in this world and still be part of the world. Mary, I am sending you Teddy and Me. You want something real? The little guy is real. Now let's go to some really salacious callers. Let us go to WABC Alicia on line 7. What's your secret, Alicia?
Hi, Michael. I kind of have a double life. I moved here from California, but I'm originally from the East Coast, and I actually diagnosed cancer for a living. And I have a boyfriend that I see here from when I was 17. I'm 59 years old now. And my husband's a horrible alcoholic. But I continue to stay with them because...
So your double life is that you're married to a guy you don't like and you're seeing a boyfriend and you're guilt-ridden over it.
Kind of. I feel like I have to stay with him because he's a real bad alcoholic and I don't think he...
What do you mean by you diagnosed cancer? What does that mean?
I look at cells under the microscope and, determine if a person has cancer or, another disease.
I mean, you work in a hospital setting? You're not like a folk healer who does does the Ouija board. You don't, like, read energies.
I'm the first person to know you're going to die, basically.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Hope you know my name. Nice to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. I mean, it's like sympathy for the devil. But I'm saying you're a cell biologist, in other words.
Yeah, cytotechnologist is what it's called.
Cytotechnologist.
Uh-huh.
So that's a very depressing life, isn't it?
Well, it is when I'm home because I constantly get criticized.
No, but when you're looking at someone's cells, do you personalize, this one's cancerous?
When I look at cancer, actually, we get very excited and I'll show it to someone else, to kind of teach them or...
So you don't emotionalize and say, okay, you don't think of it as a person?
No, I think of it as like a teaching tool, and actually cancer is very aggressive and mean looking in the, on the slide.
Have you ever heard me say I'm like an oncologist of the social world, of the social order of America, and this patient has terminal cancer? Have you heard me say that?
Yes, I have.
In my mind, Donald Trump is the only oncologist who can stop the cancer. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I'm going to vote for him, too. I mean, I don't
see,
know.
See, there you go. Another intelligent person who agrees with me. We need somebody to come in with drastic medicine and we're finished as a nation. Obama has literally metastasized the cancers of this nation, hasn't he?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes, yes.
But
the opposite of it. He's not a cancer doctor. Obama's a cancer inducer. Okay, Alicia, a copy of Teddy and Me goes out to you. This is an amazing show. I hope you're impressed with it. Let me do this for a moment while you're calling on your double life. Many of you missed the important interview I did. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Just start the interview right now from the beginning. Would you please, Robert?
He's an outspoken icon in the conservative movement, host of one of the top-rated radio talk shows in America, heard weekdays in syndication. He's Michael Savage of the Savage Nation. He's out with a new book, Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, which tells about his years-long relationship with his purebred poodle, Teddy. Michael joins me via Skype, and we'll get to the book in a little while. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Larry.
What do you make of the United States lifting the ban on the sales of military weapons to Vietnam?
It looks like a chess move to sort of send a message to China. I think what the geniuses in the Obama sorority are trying to figure out is how to use factotums to sort of prod China away from their warlike status right now. In other words, I've said for years, Larry, that China's used North Korea as their junkyard dog. They don't bark in North Korea unless China tells them to, and they scare us every once in a while with a missile test. We don't really have Asian nations that we can use to scare China, and I think sending weapons to Vietnam is about that. That's my guess.
But Vietnam has never had a love affair with China, ever.
No, because the Chinese conquered or tried to conquer Vietnam, and of course, then the French, then the Americans, and we know how that ended.
A piece in Salon.com last month described you as the ideological godfather of Trumpism, the man who blew up the Republican Party's establishment hold on its working class base. What attracts you to the Donald?
Well, it's not that he personally is that attractive. It's that his message is extremely attractive. And that I suspected right from the beginning. I had Donald on my show going back to 2011, before anyone took him seriously, before he even announced his candidacy.
Oh, I used to have him on since 1980.
Well, of course, you've been around longer than me. I would figure you'd top me on that one. But the thing is, Larry, I felt that with his moderate nationalist message, my message has been borders, language, culture since I started in radio, I didn't see a candidate who was really going to push that forward. He seemed to be doing that. I'll be frank with you. Many of his talking points for at least a year leading up to the announcement were coming out of my books, such as Stop the Coming Civil War and then Government Zero. So I know his staff was reading generally in the conservative movement. My books were selling very well. You would think they would look at the writings of people who had brains on the right side of the spectrum, if you want to put us there. I wouldn't even put myself there, by the way, but that's okay. Wherever they want to put me is fine. I would call myself pro-American rather than right or left, but let someone else define me. So what attracts me to him, I felt, A, he's a good salesman. B, he's got tremendous good unions, pardon me, that's Brooklyn for guts. And I felt that someone needed to stop this movement towards a dissolution of our borders, the bastardization of our language, and the absolute total decimation of our culture. Somebody had to stand up for America, which I love. I'm an immigrant son, Larry. And believe me, when my grandfather came here, he kissed the earth. And he told me one thing. He said, learn English and become an American. He was right. That's what I'm trying to say in all of my work.
But he says, make America, and he's a good friend, and I like the Donald personally. He says, make America great again. First, great, were we great when we had slaves? When we were great when women couldn't vote? When we were great during the Great Depression? I think we're pretty great now. What do you mean great again?
Well, of course.
What do you mean great again?
That's the standard liberal line.
Because it happens to be true.
No. That's an argument called reducto ad absurdum. You know very well because you've been in the business long enough. In other words, you take the most absurd opposition point of view and you make it sound as though he wants to bring it back.
You call slavery absurd?
Bring us back to slavery? Come on, Larry. That's a standard.
All right. Was the Depression absurd?
We're not in the Depression. We're not.
Is the Vietnam War absurd?
We're not in the Vietnam War. Obama is the most power-mad president in American history. He has decimated virtually every decent institution in this country, from the military to the schools. That's what he means by make America great again. We're not talking about slavery or the Vietnam War or women not voting.
All right, do you think the military is depleted in America?
Are you kidding me?
Show me the proof.
Larry, we have the smallest standing army since World War II.
Larger than the 10 big nations next to us combined.
Larry, we have the smallest navy since World War I.
Larger than the 10 nations behind us combined.
Yes, and why is China building their navy?
We're going to go to war with China.
Why is China building their navy? Why is China constantly exerting their muscular strength? This is not a time to retreat from the world stage. It's a time to stand up strong on the world stage, and he's gone the other way. The only people he seems to aggress against, your president, not mine, is the American opposition. The conservative movement, anyone who says one word against them are his political enemies. On the world stage, he's a wimp. Talk law, you know, the old statement from Theodore Roosevelt, speaks quietly, carry a big stick and talk quietly or something like that. This guy has the opposite, which is speak loudly and carry no stick.
He deported more immigrants than the last three presidents combined. He's hit more drones.
He's brought more in than the last five presidents.
He didn't bring them in. They came in.
Why did they come in? Because he dissolved our border patrol. Larry, you're a human being living in the country. Why do we need people on welfare? Tell me how that benefits.
I was on welfare, and I don't like it. I had it. I know why it's necessary. New York City bought my first pair of glasses. I'm not going to knock welfare people.
But how many people can we support on welfare?
Anything that's necessary, because we're a great country.
Where's the money coming from? We're bankrupt.
Yeah, we're so bankrupt. How come I see people going along? I tell you what.
Larry, listen to me. The average person's not you or me. There are two economies in this country, if not more. Los Angeles is not the heartland, which has been hollowed out, going back to the Clintons with NAFTA, if you want to get very specific, when they exported whole factories, let alone jobs.
Savage.
Capiche? I capied? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. That was a taste of it. You can find it on the internet. I'm not going to run it again. I thought it was a very telling interview, not because he's Larry King and I'm Michael Savage, but what he asked me is what liberals are using on conservatives across America. What he asked me in his attempt to set me up is what they're going to do to Donald Trump in the final debates with Hillary Clinton. So again, my friends, the main topic from my point of view as a radio expert is the real and the fake. And that is your secret double life. The phone number here is 855-407-282. By the way, breaking news, Hillary Clinton has a plan to dissolve the U.S. border within 100 days should she, God forbid, become president. That's right. She wants to dissolve the U.S. border with Mexico within 100 days. I'll tell you how right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Listen, if you stunad, don't listen to this show. What can I tell you? This is not for the stunad. This is for the thinking person. One of my hobbies right now is I like to go on to these dictionaries on the internet, talk about the internet, what you could do in your spare time to show you. I'm looking up Italian-American slang. Sometimes I look up Jewish slang. It's fun. I mean, if I watch gangster movies, I got to know what they're saying. They must read these things. Like bada bing. What does it actually mean? I have no idea. I do know. Don't call me on that, please. You want a nickname for an idiot? It's really simple. Romney. That's the Italian name for idiot, is Romney. Let's go to the callers. Double Lives, Chris, KSFO, Line 9. What's on your mind, Chris?
Dr. Savage, it is a great pleasure just to speak with you. It's a great show. I love how you, basically the best counselor in the world, but you don't have time for me to keep going
on. What's your double life, Chris?
Sir, I'm in the military, and I have been sworn. I've sworn to protect this great country, the Constitution, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And to be honest, sir, with all the stuff I see going on, I feel like I'm a complete traitor to the country, and it's killing me inside. I don't know how to balance it anymore.
You feel like you're cheating on your vows?
I do. Every day I wake up and I feel like a hypocrite. We do all this.
Why? Because of the way the U.S. Army has become anti-American and feminized?
Yes, that and amongst other things. I see people who are charged with leading our great country and protecting it.
Well, we know who the traitors are. The Benedict Arnolds will be drummed out of the military when Trump becomes president. Hang in there, kid. It's not over till it's over, and the fight has just begun. I'll be back on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
In a way, we're talking about two-faced people. People who lead one life and are doing something behind their back. But tell me what's real and fake in the political world. How about Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Starbucks pretending to be run by super left-wingers in favor of illegal immigration, gay and lesbian rights, global warming issues? What about their tax structure? Facebook, the social media titan, pay just £4,000 in corporation tax in 2014, despite reporting UK revenues of £105 million. What is that, 4%? Nice. Hey, that's good, Marky. I like that one. How about Apple? They made $34 billion in profit during the year to 2014 in England, in the UK. $34 billion, Apple. And how much did they pay in British corporation tax? £11.8 million. Can you believe the numbers I'm giving you? How about Amazon, all of these great liberal companies? The online shopping giant took in $5.3 billion in sales from British shoppers in 2014. Take a guess what they paid in British corporation tax. £11.9 million. Starbucks, another great liberal. Oh, he gives speeches every day about illegal immigration and be nice. The coffee chain paid just £8.6 million of tax over 14 years between 1998 and 2012. When sales total $3 billion. So you're talking about two-faced. How about Hillary Clinton? She says she's for America, but she has a plan to dissolve U.S. border within 100 days. You can read all about it. How about the anti-Trump protesters? They claim they're doing it because they're peace lovers, but they're violent communist street agitators waving American waving Mexican flags in America. They're not protesters. They're rioters. They are hate groups. They should be put down by the police. But they won't be put down by the police because of the two-faced president. But let's go back to the individuals listening to the show. I asked you, are you leading a double life? And many people have called with, I think, some fascinating stories. I'd like to change it a little bit in this hour, in the time that remains, to this. Many of you don't lead double lives. Many of you don't lead double lives. You lead with your life. But you probably secretly wish you could do something. I want to tap into that secret wish, the secret life you wish you could be leading. That's something that everyone listening to this show could relate to. Most people listen to the show very straight, and they lead straight lives. But inside them, there's someone else waiting to come out. Who is that someone else? What is it that you sometimes, or sometimes more than you'd like to admit, wish you could be doing, or wish that you could be, if only you'd let yourself go, and only if you didn't have the responsibilities you have? I really want to get into this. I'd like to get those calls, but if you don't want to talk about it, I understand it. KSFO, Crystal, line two. Go ahead, please. What's your topic?
Hey, Michael. I'm sorry. It seems as though everyone's secret is that they're a secret homosexual, which is crazy. I am a lesbian, but it's no secret. But it is a small part of my dilemma. I'm in my 20s. I'm black. I'm a lesbian. And I am a secret Trump supporter. Listen,
That must be tough in your... That's a tough one in your community, Crystal.
Oh, my God. I mean, I look very liberal. I love to go to a rally, but I feel like I'd be spotted out and kicked out.
A black lesbian conservative who's a secret Trump supporter. That's a tough one. Do any of your friends know this?
I've attended talking to a few people. I get hostility back. I ordered a Trump 2016 bumper magnet on Amazon, and I work with special needs kids inside their homes, and I had a parent tell me to remove it or not to park my car in her yard, and
But why are you, as a black lesbian, supporting Trump? What is it about him that you like?
Well, I've been a Democrat innately, almost. I mean, it's like, you know, visceral for black people to assume they're supposed to be Democrats, right? But after doing some history research and self-education, and people like Larry Elder and Thomas Sowell have become my personal heroes, I'm all for liberty. I'm for the Second Amendment. I'm pro-life. I carry guns, you know. I would love to be a member of the NRA, but I'm not sure.
So you're saying that in essence you're a liberty loving individual, and you feel Trump will give you more liberty than the others. I mean, that means you oppose Hillary Clinton. For what reasons do you oppose Hillary Clinton as a candidate?
Well, she doesn't have much integrity to begin with. She's not been consistent. And she has that same socialist mind frame that Hitler had, that the whole country is adopting. You know, he convinced the whole country to hate a particular demographic liberals nowadays are convincing the country to hate people who hold on to their conservative values, which are essentially that everyone should have liberty and the freedom to be their own person, right?
Boy, you're right on the money, Crystal. Look, anyone like you who works with, did you say handicapped children? Is that what you said, or special needs children?
I work with autistic children, yep.
So you have to deal with a lot of problems, and you have to be very flexible in your dealings, correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a very fluid mind, because if you get rigid with children who are not, let's say, sufficiently locked into a particular personality, if you want to put it to you that way, you're not going to be able to deal with them, correct? Don't you have to be fluid with them?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, so that means that you're fluid in your thinking, and therefore you arrived in the right place through your ability to think to begin with, Crystal. Well, I wish you a lot of luck in your lesbian black community world. I don't know how in the world you have to hide this one, because to me, anyone who would prevent Sharia law should be the natural candidate for gay people. To me, it's a no-brainer, but hey, Teddy and me going out to you, Confessions of a Service Human. Thank you for holding so long, Crystal, on the Savage Nation. Let's go to the next. There's no news. Riot at Trump rally. Protesters assault Trump supporter in wheelchair. There's nothing. There's no news. So anyone says there's news, there is no news. I'd rather do this. The Hillary Huma thing, big deal. We know who they are. Hillary and Huma stonewalled the state investigation. I don't know if that's big news. We know who they are. They're stonewallers, that's all. WGAW Radio, Massachusetts, I think. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Michael, if I had a different life, I'd be a TV game show host right now.
Well, what are you?
What am I? I'm a manager with an insurance provider. My wife would always say, you know, just add, you want a party, just add Joe. And I'm like, you know, I see a game show, I'm like, oh man, that could be me.
So you lead a boring life, and your dream would be to be a game show. So it's very interesting. Why does that appeal to you?
You know, I love the spotlight, Michael. I mean, put me in front of a podium, and I'm in my natural element.
Oh, I understand that, but why do you think being a TV game show host is your secret fantasy? Why not saying being a politician or an actor?
Well, my son says that I have a evil comedic mind, and I know these guys, you know, they come up with these jokes, and it just flows out of my mind when I'm talking. My son's like, where do you come up with this stuff? And I'm just like, you know, somebody says something.
So your double life dream would be to be a TV game show. So that's as far as it goes. You sound like a very nice guy. You have a lucky wife.
I have six kids.
So you're a good father. Your worst fantasy, that your worst, wildest fantasy is to be a TV game show host. That's great.
Yeah, it's a real boring fantasy, right?
No, I was going to say, you lead a boring life and you have the most boring fantasy I ever heard of. But hey, I actually admire you, because your mind doesn't take you into dark places, does it?
Well, it does. I have to fight it off. I think we're all tempted to the darkness, and we just have to keep running to the light, Michael.
How do you fight off the darkness?
You know, I get up in the morning and I thank God that I'm not in the darkness, because I know I have a tendency to drift that way. And I just, you know, I used to pray not to go in the darkness, and I just thank him for not letting me be in the darkness.
So you found religion, which saved you from the darkness?
Absolutely. I mean, we all got to believe in something, right? And if there's no life after this, then we're just all doomed.
Hmm. My mother used to say that you have to believe in something. And I've said to nihilists who call the show, I said, what do you believe in? They say nothing. I said, well, therefore you have a belief system. You believe in nothing.
We all believe.
In other words, they are so committed to being atheists that they believe in nothing. They absolutely believe there is no God, so therefore they believe in something.
It's a religion for them. Atheism is their religion.
Yes. Liberalism trumps atheism. Liberalism is the supernova of all of the other isms. It's liberalism becomes the godless religion that we have all seen emerging in this country. Joe, I'm sending you. Where do you live? What state are you in?
In Massachusetts. I'm in the conservative northeastern corner of Massachusetts.
Up near New Hampshire?
Up Yeah, up in the corner. I'm about 6 miles in from the ocean and about 10 miles down from New Hampshire. Everybody here, believe it or not, our state rep, both our state reps and our state senator are all Republicans up here.
Hard to believe. So, in other words, you're the opposite to Boston.
Right. I'd like to say
you're the antithesis to Cambridge, Massachusetts.
The best Republicans live in the shadow of liberalism. The best conservatives live in the shadow of liberalism.
All right, Teddy and me goes out to you and your children. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Let's go to we just had GAW. Let's go to KLIF in Dallas. Tamara, line three, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Yeah, I'm an engineer, and I've been writing science fiction and horror for a number of years, but it's not something I discuss at work because sometimes when the technologies we were working with seemed very dark, I integrated that into my stories. Obviously, I didn't leak technical details. And more recently, my son was picking up one of the books and couldn't finish one of the ones I published because he went, "This is too dark and scary. Mom, how did you write this?"
But Tamara, what kind of darkness do you write about? Are you a straight life engineer, dark life horror stories? What's the most horrible thing you've written about?
One of the first ones I got published as horror was Death by Nanites.
Death by what?
Nanites, the nanotechnology gone amok.
Oh, nanites attack a person?
A mistake where it destroys all life on Earth except for one survivor trying to not be alone.
What is a nanite? Where does it come from? What is it? Is it dark matter? What is it?
It's the micro machines that, in theory, could fix cells and create new life and assemble to create whole new structures, but in theory could go into individual cells and repair damage.
They actually exist?
The work is being done to develop it.
Wow. So you're an engineer, and what kind of engineering do you do?
Industrial and manufacturing. So I worked in R&D at where they'd give us the prototypes, and then we tried to turn things into actual products, or here's the $1 million item and figure out how to make it for $100,000.
What is a nanite? I don't understand what a nanite is, though. I never even heard of it.
It's nanotechnology. It's the...
Is that like little bits of a nanny state that break off and run around destroying our lives?
No, but it would be something like you put the little robot that goes into somebody's stomach, grabs a hold of the quarter or lithium battery the kid swallowed, and then works it through the digestive tract so that the little battery the toddler swallowed doesn't burn a hole in the stomach.
Are you saying that this technology exists or it almost exists?
Prototypes exist.
They have devices like that you could put in a stomach, take out a battery?
IO9 is a technical website, and they were showing a demonstration of it, at least in a little tray, not actually in a person yet.
So that's the future. That's the future. So you're taking future developments or inventions and then catapulting them into the darkness of your horror stories. Well, I'm going to send you Teddy and me because it's the nicest antithesis to horror that I knew of, and that's why I wrote it. I'll be back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. All right, so we've been talking about the real and the fake, in other words, the charade of the human being, right? Now, there's no bigger charade than the so-called peace protesters waving Mexican flags, violently beating up police horses, hitting them with sticks and stones, forcing the horses to panic, burning things, breaking cars, breaking windows, and saying they're doing it in the name of peace. There's no bigger phony than a liberal in a riot line. They call Trump the fascist. He's not the fascist. He's the American. They are the fascists. Frankly, I can't wait for him to become president to crack down on these vermin. And I can't wait until Interpol is contacted to break down the doors of those living in foreign countries who are conducting this in the United States of America. And I can name them because we know who they are. They are funding these street activists. They are funding this mayhem. They are funding this civil war that is emerging in America. I wrote all about it in Stop the Coming Civil War and in Government Zero. Don't think that these are spontaneous protests by poor, oppressed Mexicans. If they're so oppressed, why are they not working? Where do they get the time to go and beat up police officers and attack police? Where do they get the time to burn American flags? They're not protesters. They're paid agitators. And there's a place for them. And it's not in the streets. Cody, I don't have time to get to some of these callers. We will when we come back, perhaps. But we've been talking about the dual life of the individuals. In other words, what is real and what is false. There's no bigger phony than he who talks about global warming, such as the actor who flies from Europe to receive an award for his work on behalf of the environment, and then flies back to party with the girls on his yacht. We see it every day of the week, don't we? Hypocrisy has no bounds. I'll be back in a minute right here on the Savage Nation with all the news, views, and reviews and the latest headlines. Japanese Prime Minister lashed out at President Obama during the president's visit to Japan. You didn't read about that one? You didn't know about the trip as a failure? Did you hear about the mansion the Obamas will be living in 2017? The man of the people? All this and more on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I was reading a story about a beautiful, successful blonde doctor, a married mother of three, a dermatologist, no less, married to a dermatologist from Roslyn, New York, three beautiful children, right? And she was found dead in Manhattan in the doorway of a weird apartment building, her panties stashed in her handbag, dying of a drug overdose. Kirsten Rickenbach-Cervini. On the face of it all, she had everything. If you looked at her on Instagram or Facebook, she was the perfect woman. Doctor, husband, doctor, three children, nice house, great career. Meanwhile, she was leading a second life, a double life, as it were. I have a question for you in the audience today. Those of you secretly using drugs, are you ready for this? What is your hidden double life? Don't tell me you don't have one, because you do. You look at the Facebook page of this young doctor. Photo album, photogenic, well-loved, well-traveled. Celebrating her birthday in 08 with her husband, Andrew, also a dermatologist. Dressed up in another picture for a formal event, looking carefree. People said on Instagram or Facebook, what a good-looking couple. There's pictures of the doctor in Jackie O-style sunglasses on vacation in Hawaii. There she is partying in New Orleans. There she is skiing in Whistler. There she's in a thick spa robe. There she is dining by the fireplace, living with a family in her home in Manhasset, Long Island. On Facebook, she seemed to be filled with a great life. Happy people all around her. Do you know that there are 80 million photos posted on Instagram every day? 80 million. I've never posted a photo on Instagram. I heard about it. I was told to leave my website. I was told to leave Facebook. I was told to start posting on Instagram. I haven't gotten to that. I'm using the equivalent of the Royal Portable in social media. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I'm using Facebook. That took me years to even bother with, to be honest with you. 1.49 billion active users per month on Instagram. Twitter has 316 million active accounts. Tumblr has 230 million. Pinterest has 47.66 million unique visitors from the U.S. alone, and is the fastest-growing independent site in history. Now, what is the point of all of this? Because most of us are leading two lives, one online, one offline. And studies that are coming out show us that those who live online more than they live, let's say, in the real life, the fake life they're posting, makes them more vulnerable to depression. And if you're spending hours on social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you are probably more vulnerable to depression, loneliness, and low self-worth. This has been studied, by the way, and I can give you the studies. And the study authors of this particular study from Germany, who monitored 584 Facebook users, they found that one out of three feel worse after checking what their friends were up to, especially if those friends had just posted vacation photos. Did you know any of this? Overall, wrote the authors of the study, shared content does not have to be explicitly boastful for feelings of envy to emerge. In fact, they said a lonely user might envy numerous birthday wishes his more sociable peer receives on his Facebook wall. Equally, a friend's change in the relationship status from single to in a relationship might cause emotional havoc for someone undergoing a breakup, because these studies are coming out. And even kids as young as 15 years old or even younger, if they find out they're not invited to a school dance, they go into severe depression. Did you know any of this? Thank God it wasn't around when I was a kid. I have no idea what I would have done on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. I had enough trouble without all of that fake life out there. But what I'm saying is people use these sites to create false images of themselves. They run their perfect lives on these sites. They take photographs of a piece of their apartment that is staged by IKEA, while the rest of their apartment is in chaos, not in IKEA. They're using one wall that is perfect, while the rest of the house is a disaster. And they buy things just to maintain that little image. That's how sick this is. And so people are talking about this story right now. And it all goes back to the hidden life of Kirsten Rickenbach-Cerveny, the dermatologist with the three beautiful children. She was beautiful. Winds up dead in the doorway of a drug overdose with the panties in the bag. You hear? That's what the parents sacrificed to send her to medical school for, so she could wind up dead in the doorway with the panties in the bag. But she's not alone, and I'm not mocking her. I'm not glorifying her. She did what she did. That's what she did. She walked on the wild side, and she OD'd. That's all. It happened. But there's a bigger story there, because she's not the only one leading a double life. Perhaps you are. The topic of the day is, what is your double life? What are you secretly doing that no one knows about? And I'm tying it into, whether you know it or not, the lies on Facebook. The fake lives people are putting up about how happy they are. The little Hallmark life that they put up, and it's making people totally crazy. There is an anti-social media movement on the horizon that I'm trying to tell you about. People are starting to react to this, because especially young mothers, we're finding out, are feeling pressure to present their perfect life on these Instagrams, and they're starting to feel overwhelmed and annoyed, according to the studies. Here's an example. Young people, pay attention. Especially if you're very accomplished and you're very beautiful. Are you ready for this one? They're the most vulnerable. Here's a story. Madison Hollerin, beautiful Ivy League student, star athlete, all-around popular girl. Her Instagram account only underscored this image. Parties, friends, track meets, her dad cheering her on. But Madison was keenly aware of the difference between her online life and a real one. And she once corrected a mother who told ESPN the magazine that after looking at Madison's photos, she turned to her daughter and said, "Madison, you look like you're so happy at this party." Mom, Madison said, "It's just a picture." Well, here's the sad truth. On January 14, 2014, Madison posted a photo of trees strung with lights, bulbs glowing against the twilight. An hour later, she leapt to her death from the ninth floor of a parking garage. So if you think that there are no consequences to living online, I got news for you, okay? And the callers, and by the way, the girl was 19 years old. What are you hiding out there on the Savage Nation? We're talking about your secret double life. If you just tuned in, what's real and what's fake about you? Oh, what? The average guy driving around in a car just, what did he just say, that guy, Savage? What's real and what's fake? Yeah, what's fake about you? What do you do that no one knows about? What's your secret double life? This is radio at its best. We're talking about that. We're talking about Michael Savage being interviewed by Ryan Kang. And what you thought of that interview? Yeah, he teed me up with questions like, "You want to make, Trump wants to make America great again? Why, it's not great enough? Where do you want to take us back to? Slavery? The Depression? Women can't vote?" That was absurd. He was a little trapped when I said that's an absurd argument. It's called reducto ad absurdum. You know what that is, Larry. He didn't know what it was. I can't, he didn't go to college or high school, I don't think. But he's a very intelligent man. Frankly, a nice man. I like the guy. I'll have a bagel with him, even though I'm not eating gluten these days. Actually, I'm eating no wheat at all. Actually, I'm not eating any starch these days. But I still break a bagel with him. Let's put it to you this way. I'll take the whole, not the bagel. I could talk about this one some other day, because there are rules to this kind of combat, verbal combat. People who are jujitsu artists in the physical world understand how to use movements against force and use the other man's force against him. And there's a third way, which is not even to react to the man at all. And that man will often go right off the mat. In other words, he comes at you, you step aside, he'll fall off the mat without you even doing a thing. And I think that at a certain point in your life, if you were in the state of mind for it, I wasn't a particularly secure state of mind. I had rushed that day, things that happened that I won't even want to describe. But I'm such a consummate professional that by the time I got in front of that Skype camera, there was nothing but me and him on that screen. And nothing happened to me before it, and I had no life before that moment. You know, that's a very important point. It's the same with Trump speaking on a stage. When he's on that stage, he had no life before that stage. This is the thing about oratorical skills. This is the thing about presentation in any sphere of your life, whether you're playing golf or you're speaking to a large auditorium or you're speaking on a microphone to millions of people. There's no past, by the way, and there is no future. You're living in the present. And the present dictates terms to you that you may not have expected, and you just got to be ready to move with the present, is what I'm saying. Larry King is, sad to say, he's a nice guy. No one watches him. He's on a little, you know, show on RT. They asked me to come on for the book a week before, and I canceled. I didn't want to do it. I didn't feel well, and I didn't think it was important enough. How many people really watch him on RT? Tiny audience. Maybe 1/1,000th of my audience here on radio, okay? But I did it for a couple of reasons. I wanted the people to see Teddy in Russia, in case they wanted to make a statue to him in Lenin Square. I thought they should see a picture of him in Russia. See, it's an international show. That was the reason I wanted to be on RT. You got to remember something. I didn't have a script in front of me. I went on to talk about the book. He had a script in front of him. He kept looking down for the questions and the repeat questions, and I don't know whether he had a little glass prompter. I don't know. I'm not here to embarrass him. I hate to keep saying it because people don't want to hear it anymore. I had to learn to think quickly as a kid in New York. Let me put it to you that way. You really, you know, like the quick and the dead. You ever hear that one? It's as simple as that. I was not a particularly tall kid. I wasn't particularly strong. Just to go to the bathroom in PS 48 required pretty good skills. Let's put it to you that way. I learned to use my mind in order to survive. You know, today, but they didn't shoot you in those days. Of course, it was a peaceful world compared to the animals of today. I mean, you went to the bathroom, the worst that happened is you get beaten up a little bit. But today, you don't even come out of the bathroom alive. You come out dead in New York today in some neighborhoods. That's how wonderful it's become. But going back to my primitive days, I had to learn to think quickly. Also, in my family, to be honest, it was a very competitive family, as were most immigrant families of that time. Eastern European people were extremely picky on each other, whether they were Italian or Jewish. They picked on each other. The father and the mother and the children, everyone was fighting with each other all day long. Don't think I'm making it up. It was not life with father. Let me put it to you that way. Ask any Italian what life was like with his father in the household, or any Jewish guy from that generation. So in other words, you were put on the spot instantly all the time of everything, a meatball. Whatever you did, you were challenged. So that makes it makes you learn to think fast. It was a survival skill. It was a hazing. Today, the father would be arrested for hazing you to think fast. The police would come in and arrest him for making you think fast. Oh, look what you did to your kid. You made him think fast. How do you like that? What if the kid can't think fast? What, now they should arrest the father for trying to make him think faster? I have other, you know, boring topics. Fifth Circuit Court should uphold the ruling that Texas's photo ID law is discriminatory. Who wrote that? Communist lawyers who should be deported. State's photo ID law is the strictest in the nation, has been ruled discriminatory 3 times. They sent this to me, Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. If you ever saw what I wrote them, I said all of you ought to be deported to China and see if your law would apply there, that the photo ID laws are discriminatory. Never heard from them again. So don't think I can do politics. I can't do politics. I can do it if I want. I'm not in the mood right now. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, let's look at the news headlines of the day on MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture dominate. Top story. You know the top story. The anti-Trump protests are run by the far left, funded by George Soros, according to the sources I have read. What do these stupid people in the streets want? America to become like the toilet bowl they fled? Is that what you want? You want this country to become like the hellhole called Mexico, you idiots, you? You want the violence and the corruption of Mexico and America? If you don't like it here, go back where you came from, you violent. 100 French police raid Google's Paris headquarters. It's part of a $1.2 billion tax and money laundering investigation. How's that, Google? If you're interested in cultural affairs, you can go to a link I have on michaelsavage.com of these Irish sisters used to be brothers. Yes, they were two boys, and they were brothers in Ireland, and now they're very beautiful girls. No comment. Good-looking girls, by the way. Well, good-looking whatever. After a high-speed chase, Somali Muslim tries to run over border agents in Arizona. Oh, but don't pay attention to that. They all come here to work. It's the religion of peace. Oh, yes, top Hillary economic advisor praised Chavez, Venezuelan socialism. You shocked by that? No. Obama's sneaking in Syria and setting a new world record. Did you hear this? Oh, this is the biggest story of all. State Department sets new single-day record for Syrian refugee asylees. The State Department admitted 80 Syrian refugees on Tuesday, 225 on Monday, setting a new single-day record as President O'Criminal surges to try to meet his target of 10,000 Syrian Muslims this year, sparking renewed fears among security experts who say corners are being cut to meet a political goal. What, with Obama? Meeting a political goal just before the election? The new spike in numbers is stunning, with more people accepted on Monday alone that were approved from Syria in the entire months of January or February. The Obama administration seems to be on full throttle to force in as many Syrians as possible before the time clock runs out on them. Powerless to stop the civil war in Syria, Mr. O'Criminal has insisted that the United States accept 10,000 Syrian Muslims. Did you hear this? As of Tuesday evening, he'd approved 2,540 of them to enter the United States of America without any serious vetting whatsoever. That's 60 a day coming in without any serious look at who they are. Meanwhile, pressure to bring in more Syrian Muslims is growing. Last week, Senate Democrats, led by Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois, sent off a letter saying other countries are approving refugees at a quicker pace. And he demanded that we take in more. Durbin of Illinois said refugees are victims, not perpetrators of terrorism. And the Democrats signed that screed. By the way, two men who arrived as part of the refugee program were later charged with terrorism-related offenses in January. Tell that to O'Criminal and Durbin. One of those let in, Os Muhammad Yunus al-Ja'ab, an Iraqi-born man, was living in Syria when he was admitted as a refugee in 2012. Meanwhile, Trump continues to speak here in California while the left-wing communist vermin are out of control, lighting fires, throwing rocks, beating up police, trashing police cars, and they say there is violence at Trump rallies. They have it backwards as usual. The vermin in the media are fueling the violence. Point the fingers at the vermin in the street. Backed by the vermin called George Soros, in my estimation. Well, that's the good news. Now I'll get into the bad news in the United States of America. Tomorrow on The Savage Nation. And by the way, check out Teddy and Me at your local bookstore if you want to smile for Father's Day. Good night and thank you for listening. I'm Michael Savage.